Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things. We'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is Holiness Bibles, plural, for theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus. First off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Six Eyes Radio Network here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you again once more by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, Holiness, Bibles, plural, for theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, Six Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the Six Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the Six Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the Six Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us here on the Six Eyes Gospel Bus as we get ready to pull out of the station tonight?
Well, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, band of angels, you and me.
All right, well, what kind of prayer request you got tonight?
Well, we'll pray for what Emily had, and we praise the Lord that her mom is coming home when she said it would be wonderful. We just want to praise the Lord for my trip and getting back safely with that extremely bad rain, and they expected a tornado, which never came. And I just thank you, Lord, for that. And just thank the Lord for how he's taking care of my sweet Kenny. He's getting better, too, thanks to what the doctor said, and the Lord's been doing it all. So, Lord, you got it, sweetheart. You got the mail, and we know you'll take care of it. So we just want to praise your name for everything you do, and we want to serve you always. Amen.
Amen. And obviously our regular prayer request, obviously, for the situation over in Israel, for Brother Tim. And today we will be on this show getting an update on what's exactly going on over in Israel. That'll be a treat for us, so be paying attention. Stay tuned. And his prayer request will always be on here tonight. Be praying for, obviously, him. All our country's leaders, they need to seek after God, not after man. Obviously, our military. And, of course, all our first responders. And our medical workers, all our sick and shut in, the lost in general, especially that one who is nearest hell, and that the Six Eyes Radio Network would be a blessing to all to whom listen, near and far, and the Six Eyes Radio Network team, and of course, as Six would say, your friends, my friends, your fans, my fans, your family, my family, and of course, all of the requests that Emily has brought forth, and in general, everything that has been going on, and, of course, the blind ministry and its needs for a bus as we continue to raise funds for that. All right. So, Sister Ruth, why don't you give us an opening prayer, and we'll get right into our good gospel music. And then, of course, Brother Tim, he's going to be bringing a message tonight starting today and every week now in place of the Holiness Bibles for the Blind Spotlight message. Now we will have Tim Gruber, and his Word of the King is now going to be on Wednesdays, and then after that is Ruth and her Bible prophecy. And Ruth, what do you got for us tonight?
War in Heaven.
War in Heaven. And a special treat for tonight, the last, if you will say, song and poem, but this is the ultimate. Tim has already won that contest, but our champ is going to take on the ultimate contest where we have the equivalent of three songs. One is a spoken lyric, which you could say is a second poem. So two poems, you could say, two songs, or three songs and one poem, however you want to look at it. And the champ is going to see what he could do with that. And then he's going to put a message from that common theme as his first message of the Word of the King tonight on the Wednesday Night Bible Study. So go ahead, Ruth, give us an opening prayer, and we'll get started.
Well, we thank you, Lord, for the programs that we do have on Six Eyes Radio Network. It's been a wonderful time we've had the last few years, and just keep on going till the rapture. So, Lord, you know all the requests, and we know you'll take care of them, so we just want to praise your name. Let's have a good show, Lord. Love you so much. Amen.
Amen. So here we go. Let's boogie.
The river that flows by the throne. Spirit of the living God.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
My name's Anastasia, and I am Alana.
Go. And I am Autumn.
I am Iron Journey.
And I am in Ariel.
Hi, my name is Journey, and we're donating toys so we can help the homeless and the animal shelters.
Hi, my name is Autumn. Please contact James.
839 West Prospect Road. Ohio. Thank you!
Now it is time for the Success Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40.
And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me.
So, what have you done to the least of Christ's brethren? Who are his brethren? They, Jesus said, in his word, they that do the will of my Father which is in heaven is the same my brother, my sister, my mother, etc. These are his brethren. So, what you've done to them, when you give them a glass of water, when you give them something to eat, when you visit them in prison or in the hospital, nursing home, etc., how you treat them is how you treat Christ. You're not doing it to them. Remember, you're doing it ultimately to Christ, found in our Six-Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Matthew 25 and verse 40. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40. Amen.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of
nights. There's a friend that I can call on for a little ray of light. When I can't see the good things, he's there to give me sight. My sunshine man makes every wrong seem right. Shed a little light for me to see. He's the keeper of my sunshine. In his hands he holds the key. My sunshine man means everything to me. He's my sunshine man. Every minute of the day. He's my sunshine man. Never very far away. When my heart is heavy burden and I need a helping hand, I can always call upon my sunshine man. He's my sunshine man. Every minute of the day. He's my sunshine man. Never very far away. When my heart is heavy burden and I need a helping hand, I can always call upon my sunshine man.
On the outskirts of a little southern town, trying to reach my destination before the sun went down. The old CB was blaring away on channel 19 when there came a little boy's voice on the radio line. And he said, "Breaker 19, is anyone there? Come on back, truckers, and talk to Teddy Bear." Well, I keyed the mic and I said, "You got it, Teddy Bear." And the little boy's voice came back on the air. "Appreciate the break. Who we got on that end?" I told him my handle, and then he began. "Now, I'm not supposed to bother you fellas out there. Mom says you're busy and for me to stay off there. But you see, I get lonely, and it helps to talk. 'Cause that's about all I can do. I'm crippled, and I can't walk." I came back and told him to fire up that mic, and I talked to him as long as he liked. "This was my dad's radio," the little boy said. but I guess it's mine and Mom's now. Of course, my daddy's dead. Dad had a wreck about a month ago. He was trying to get home in the blinding snow. Mom has to work now to make ends meet. And I'm not much help with my two crippled feet. She says not to worry, that we'll make it all right. But I hear her crying sometimes late at night. You know, there's one thing I want more than anything else to see. Oh, I know you guys are too busy to bother with me. But, you see, my dad used to take me for rides when he was home. But I guess that's all over now since my daddy's gone. Not one breaker came on the old CB as that little crippled boy talked with me. I tried hard to swallow a lump that just wouldn't stay down as I thought about my boy back in Greenville Town. Dad was going to take Mom and me with him later on this year. Well, I remember him saying, someday this old truck will be yours, teddy bear. But I know I'll never get to ride an 18-wheeler again. But this old base will keep me in touch with all my trucker friends. Teddy Bear's going to back on out now and leave you alone, because it's about time for Mom to come home. But you give me a shout when you're passing through, and I'll sure be happy to come back to you. Well, I came back and I said, before you go, 1010, what's your home 20, little CB friend? Well, he gave me his address, and I didn't once hesitate, because this hot load of freight is just going to have to wait. I turned that truck around on a dime and headed straight for Jackson Street, 229. And as I rounded the corner, oh, I got one heck of a shock. 18-wheelers were lined up for three city blocks. Well, I guess every driver for miles around had caught Teddy Bear's call. And that little crippled boy was having a ball. For as fast as one driver would carry him in, another would carry him to his truck and take off again. Well, you better believe I took my turn at riding Teddy Bear. And then I carried him back in and put him down in his chair. And, buddy, if I never live to see happiness again, I want you to know I saw it that day in the face of that little man. We took up a collection for him before his mama got home, and each driver said goodbye, and then they were all gone. He shook my hand with a mile-long grin and said, so long, trucker. I'll catch you again. Yeah, I hit that interstate with tears in my eyes. And I turned on the radio, and I got another surprise. Breaker 19 came a voice on the air. Just one word of thanks from Mama Teddy Bear. We wish each and every one a special prayer for you, because you just made my little boy's dream come true. I'll sign off now before I start to cry. May God ride with you. 10-4. And goodbye.
I was there that day and I saw her cry. After Mama Teddy Bear said 10-4 and goodbye, she turned off the old CB and just looked at me. And her heart overflowed and her tears ran free. And the gratitude shone in her face like the sun for all the things those big, tough truckers had done. A handful of change and a few dollar bills. But most of all, a little crippled boy's dream fulfilled. I guess I was Mama Teddy Bear's best friend. I lived by her and little Teddy Bear since, oh, I couldn't remember when. And that's why now, before my memory grows old, the rest of the story just has to be told. I'd come over and sit with Teddy Bear while his mama was away and play little games to help him pass the day. Then the afternoons, he'd wheel that chair over by the radio and he'd go on the air. And one by one, he'd break them all. I never knew a trucker not to answer his call. He'd just grin and ask me not to tell his mama, but I was pretty sure she knew what was going on. But time has a way of taking its toll, much too fast. Mama's teddy bear was growing old. And I watched as the silver touched her hair, but her one aim in life was teddy bear. And then I saw another change take place. Little teddy bear was slowly losing the race. I knew it, and his mama knew it too. And there was nothing in this whole world either of us could do. He talked less often on the old CB. There were times when he'd hardly talk with me. He took to sitting by the window and watching the road and the big 18-wheelers rolling by with their loads. And finally, he was too weak to get out of bed. And one day he looked up at me and said, "Would you turn on the radio and go on the air and tell all my trucker friends what's happened to Teddy Bear?" Well, the hardest thing I've done in my time is pick up that mic and say, "Break 19, this is for all you truckers who care. I'm calling for your little friend, Teddy Bear. He says to tell you he misses you all, and he's awful sorry he can't answer your call." They all came back and joked with me and said they'd catch him later on the old CB. But they never did catch Teddy Bear again. Because late one night the angel came, and the last thing he said before he died was, "Tell all my trucker friends how I enjoyed the ride." Mama Teddy Bear couldn't tell them, and neither could I. Because every time we'd look at that radio, we'd both start to cry. The funeral was preached at the chapel, and little Teddy Bear started on his last ride. As the procession rounded the little city square, the sounds of 100 engines filled the air. The truckers had dropped their trailers back somewhere behind, and one by one, they fell in line. They all tried to comfort Mama Teddy Bear, and it seemed like the warmth of God just filled the air. Slowly, they formed a circle around the little grave, and a lot of big men cried that day as they paid their last respects on Teddy Bear's last ride.
On the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy like me can't hack. It's early to rise, early in the sack. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm. Raising me a family and working on the farm. My days are all filled with an easy country charm. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. And life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. When the work's all done and the sun's setting low, pull out the fiddle and I'm rousing up the bow. The kids are asleep, so I keep it kind of low. Thank God I'm a country boy. I'd play a valley cooking all day if I could, but the Lord and my wife wouldn't think it's very good. So I fiddle when I can and I work when I should.
can't help me close to the side. Said live a good life, play my fiddle with pride. Thank God you're a country boy. Well, my daddy taught me young how to hunt and how to whittle. Taught me how to work and play a tune on the fiddle. He taught me how to love and how to give just a little. And thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. I'm a country boy,
Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind. Our primary outreach goal is to the edification of the saved, reaching out to the lost, and helping those in distress, and the education of Christ's body as to the abilities, needs, and rights of those who are visually inconvenienced, and the special talents they can bring to God's church. God has challenged us to meet this goal in many ways. First off, with our appropriate outreach materials for the sighted and blind alike, such as large print, Braille and audio Bibles, tracts, and more. Then secondly, our sermons library, which is over 200 titles strong and growing. Topics range from loving the brethren to the false doctrines of the cults. You'll surely find food for your soul by checking out the entire set we have to offer. All sermons are totally free for the asking, as the Lord provides. Request one or as many as you want. Thirdly, our resources department of our ministry helps to answer the question, what is out there? By getting help finding training for blind children and adults, finding a summer camp or a handy gift idea for that blind friend or loved one. Finally, don't stay on earth without them. Find out more about the Ashtabula Angels and how these messengers of mercy are a part of the ministry. Get a copy of their albums or book them before they fly away. You can find out more about Holiness Bibles for the Blind by visiting our website at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Again, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Or you could call us at 1-440-789-9411. Again, 1-440-789-9411. You can also email us at holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, .bibles.4for.the.blind@gmail.com. Again, that's Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, .bibles.4for.the.blind@gmail.com. And finally, if you wish to give a love gift to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, go to paypal.com and enter the email address 2for1katie@gmail.com. That's digit number 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, katie@gmail.com. Again, digit 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, katie@gmail.com. After you've entered the email address, then all you've got to do is enter the amount of your love gift, and no matter how big or small, Holiness Bibles for the Blind thanks you very, very much, and God will richly bless you for your love gift. Amen. And now it is time for Tim Groover and his Hebrew Word of the Week.
Hello, Kenny. Hello, everybody. This is Brother Timothy Groover coming to you with the Hebrew Word of the Week. And our Hebrew Word of the Week is actually going to be a title of the Lord himself from the context of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, for it is written, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel." And in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The Mighty God. In Hebrew, El Gibor. That's L-E-L. Space there between El Gibor, E-L, Gibor. G-I-B-O-R. El Gibor, the Mighty God. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, son of David, son of God, son of Abraham. And the government should be upon his shoulder, and his name should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, El Gibor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Till next time, this is Brother Timothy Groover coming to you with another Hebrew Word for the Week. And thanks again for your prayers on behalf of not only I, but everyone in the nation of Israel throughout the world. Thank you very much. God bless.
Glad you gave. far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you have done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, but in heaven now proclaimed. I know up in heaven, you're not supposed to cry, but I'm almost sure there were tears in your eyes. As Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord, he said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that is changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that is changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. I am so Blessed Bible preached by the holy man of God.
that showed me the path I trod. It was his small, still voice that called me by my name. Oh, my first name. And I trusted Jesus. Yes, that's how I got saved. It was his small, still voice that called me by my name.
That's what this altar is for. My locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning.
Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't throw that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she'd just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my father, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody, wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk, and my brother and sister are like zombies walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
This show is brought to you in part by Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You can find us on the web at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org. If you wish to give a donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, you can do so by going on our homepage at the bottom at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, and you'll see a heart, and right under it, you'll see a link that says Love Offerings. Click that, and you'll be on our secure Love Offerings page where you can use your PayPal or credit card to give a secure donation. If you wish to give a donation to us by check or money order, you can also do so by sending your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send any check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Now, if you wish to make your love gift and send it to our bus on the donation there for the PayPal or the credit card on our secure PayPal, on our secure donation link there, right there on the website, where it says, what is this donation for? You could type in the word bus, B-U-S, bus. And if it's for Brother Timothy Groover, you just type in either Timothy Groover, Brother Tim, or the Word of the King. And we will be sure those donations get to the right place. If you're doing it via check or money order, in the memo line of your check or money order, just do the same. If it's for the bus, you put bus, B-U-S. If it's for Brother Timothy Groover, put Brother Tim, Tim Groover, or the Word of the King, and we will make sure it gets to its appropriate destination. And Holiness Bibles for the Blind, Brother Tim, all thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you for your love gift. Thank you. All right, dear listeners, we are now going to have a little update from our missionary in Israel, Brother Timothy Groover. Brother Tim, let us know how things are going over there, etc.
Hello there, dear listener. This is Brother Timothy Groover here. Now, just again, giving you an update here, how things are going here in Israel. In terms of the whole war situation currently, perhaps you heard how Israel here is now expanding their war against the Islamic terrorists. They're actually going up into Lebanon. They're planning on going up into Lebanon. There's been somewhat of a stir in at times over the whole war policy and the whole war agenda. Maybe a disagreement here and there. Last time I heard, people seem to be backing Netanyahu a lot more as a result of the war going in the direction that it has gone, albeit politically. And there's been a number of protests over here that I myself witnessed just around the corner from where I've been staying here, Tel Aviv, a fist one hostel. In fact, those protests, for the most part, have been just not too far down from the U.S. Embassy here in Tel Aviv. Basically, again, just kind of speaking out against the whole policy of the U.S. government and the what I'll call Obama-Biden administration. I know Biden is supposed to be the president, but anybody who pays any attention and knows much about what has been going on there with this current Biden administration understands that it's basically a third term of Obama, the Muslim Obama. And, of course, once you understand that, it's all the more easy to understand how U.S. policy has been the way it has been towards Israel for nearly the last 4 years now. But anyhow, speaking of places where I'm staying, I'm hopefully going to, Lord willing, be going to Jerusalem shortly here as this is being recorded. And I'm hopefully, by the time you hear this, I'm going to have learned that there's a place in Jerusalem where I'll be able to put in about 5 hours of cleaning a day, 5 hours of work cleaning a day, and they'll give me a free place to stay as a result. And surely as they do that, by the grace of God, I will say that any of your financial support would still be appreciated for supplies along the way. But at least then I'll have a place to stay, and I'll not have to lay out as much money for a place to stay in that context. And also, We're going to be meeting Lord Roy, as I recall mentioning before, with this Pastor Gil and his wife Tamar, this Tiferet Ministries. If you would just keep them and Tiferet Ministries in prayer. We're going to meet for about an hour, and we're going to discuss some matters pertaining ultimately to this sister in the Lord, Monica, and what I believe God is doing there. And I appreciate your prayers along on those lines as well. Again, safe to say, by the time you hear this, we may have already met, but at least you can still be in prayer that God would give us all wisdom as to where to go from there, having discussed what we will have discussed as of, hopefully again this Tuesday, for about an hour. We'll sit down. In terms of other things to update, again, I would just encourage you just to be in prayer for loved ones back there in the States. Mom, even as you're going to be hearing this, they're going to be on vacation in Chicopee, even as you hear this, my mom, Judy, my dad, Joel, just keep them and all of my other loved ones in prayer after the flesh for their spiritual well-being. Appreciate that. And again, just keep not only me, but the entire body of Christ here in Israel and throughout the world in prayer, especially our brothers and sisters who are suffering persecution at the hands of the enemies of the gospel. And for the outpouring of God's Spirit in the midst of these perilous times as we continue to look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Mashiach Yeshua. Do you have any other questions in particular that you would like to ask, Kenny?
At this time, Tim, other than we'd like to make sure, we want to know spiritually how you're doing and any needs you may have. Other than that, I think you covered everything.
To answer your question there, spiritually, as I said, as I'll mention, and you'll hear later as well, I have been really growing by the grace of God and doing well, and ultimately, by the grace of God, going from glory to glory, as Brother John McTernan said. Brother John McTernan, he had even prayed for me one night here at the hospital. And as he prayed for me, and I agreed in prayer, and we agreed in prayer in Jesus' name, this overwhelming peace just came over me, and I had one of the most restful, peaceful nights that I had in a long time. But that, combined with other matters of deliverance that I'll also get into in the context of what message I bring forth here later, as dear listeners, you will hear mighty way. And ultimately, we're just still praying, waiting on that blessing who God calls to help me either find up the wife, find up the good thing. And if you just continue to pray for that, because ultimately, again, I have a mom and a dad who mean well. They love me dearly. But there's just certain things that spiritually, they're, even having made a profession of faith and having seen a change in them for the better as I did, I don't think they're totally ready to handle just yet. I mean, I'm claiming victory over the epilepsy. I have not, as of August, I've not taken my pharmaceuticals now for 2 years. And I'll tell you, I'm surviving just fine. But again, whether or not they would be ready to receive it to acknowledge that is another story. But at the same time, you know, we've been at peace and we've maintained a peace towards one another. And I want to maintain that spirit of peace. I would rather be at peace with my loved ones and not be at my own parents, in this case from a distance, than be in a spirit of contention up close. And ultimately, devils, you could say, have been trying to ultimately drive me back to the United States of America, not just back to the United States of America, but back underneath mom and dad's roof, because ultimately, again, I did just turn 44 years old. And those devils know they can get me back underneath my mom and dad's roof for any length of time. And they're able to oppress or attack me in any way. Mom and dad, spirit, whatever. They're going to right away want to equate that with the epilepsy. Those devils will have them equate it with the epilepsy. And they're going to want to basically pressured me, forced me, I'll be able to go back down to John Hopkins, most likely, in Baltimore, Maryland, and pressure me to get back on those pharmaceuticals when I'm just telling you, I don't need them. I'm doing fine without them. So if you just continue to pray along those lines, dear listener, in light of what I just shared, thanking the Lord for the victory that he gives, and just, I'll be ultimately keeping you posted as to how things go from here. But yes, that young lady's name again is Monica. Again, she's a widow. She's a mother of 9 children. She definitely needs that man in her life with her husband, again, having passed away due to COVID in February of 2021. She needs that other man in her life. She is a young widow, and the Word of God is very clear that such individuals, it is God's will for them to remarry. But at the same time, she wants to be led by the Spirit of God, as you and I should want to be led by the Spirit of God, dear listener, in all things. So pray for her. Pray for us all. All those lines, Lord, that we would, by God's grace, be led by his Spirit in all things. That's it, Kenny.
All right, Tim, thanks, and God bless you. And now it is time for Brother Timothy Gruber as our song and poem champion of the Success Radio Network to give us the ultimate answer and common theme message to this ultimate set of songs and poem. What is the common message to these? Amen.
Her parents never took a young girl to church, never spoke of his name, never read her his word. Two non-believers walking lost in this world took their baby with them. What a sad little girl. Her daddy drank all day and mommy did drugs. Never wanted to play or give kisses and hugs. She'd watch the TV and sit there on the couch while her mom fell asleep and her daddy went out. Behind their couch, she'd be hiding. Oh, what a sad
3. My iris is swollen. I cannot see. I must be stupid. I must be bad. What else could have made my daddy so mad? I wish I were better. I wish I weren't ugly. Then maybe my mommy would still want to hug me. I can't speak at all. I can't do a wrong, or else I'm locked up all the day long. When I awake, I'm all alone. The house is dark. My folks aren't home. When my mommy does come, I'll try and be nice, so maybe I'll get just one whipping tonight. Don't make a sound. I just heard a car. My daddy is back from Charlie's bar. I hear him curse. My name he calls. I press myself against the wall. I try and hide from his evil eyes. I'm so afraid now. I'm starting to cry. He finds me weeping. He shouts ugly words. He says it's my fault that he suffers at work. He slaps me and hits me and yells at me more. I finally get free, and I run for the door. He's already locked it, and I start to bawl. He takes me and throws me against the hard wall. I fall to the floor with my bones nearly broken, and my daddy continues with more bad words spoken. I'm sorry, I scream, but it's not much too late. His face has been twisted into unimaginable hate. The hurt and the pain, again and again. Oh, please, God, have mercy. Oh, please let it end. And he finally stops and heads for the door while I lay there motionless, sprawled on the floor. My name is Sarah. I am but 3. Tonight my daddy murdered me.
Lightning strike and burn a forest down. And after these things happened, the remains were hauled away. And where the building in the forest once stood, there was nothing left but 2 empty places. Now, empty places are lonely places. And the loneliest and the most empty place I can think of is the inside of a little child when he or she wants to be loved by mom and dad. And mom and dad are too busy or too selfish to pay attention. The child reaches out for their affection, and there is none. Instead of love, he is used, abused, and neglected until his love and respect for mom and dad begin to fade. And it keeps on fading until finally it's all gone. Then empty is the heart of a love-hungry child. No more tears for him. He's cried them all. Now, I know a child who lived that way. But you know, he never carried a chip on his shoulder. And he went through a cold and senseless war. That little family soldier. His mom drank hard liquor and all that she could get. And his daddy rolled and smoked those funny-smelling cigarettes. And he was always in line of fire when the fights began. But he just stood there at attention and obeyed all their commands. They'd march him up the stairs and throw him in his room, twist his little arms and torture him and leave him with his wounds. He thought of going over the hill time and time again. But he'd just cry and snuggle up to his little brother, Jim. The baseball team could call him. He had to sell his bike. He mowed lawns in the afternoon and cleaned the house at night. Now, the teacher just didn't understand, because he wouldn't tell why his grades were falling off. So when school let out, he failed. Now, they lived on welfare money and what little he brought in. And when the food was low, he would do without. That's just the way it was with him. He worked with colds and fevers. His coat was thin and worn, and he wore long sleeves to hide the ugly bruises on his arms. You see, his mom and dad were brutal. Why, it's a wonder he remembered how to find or force a smile. their tempers fired, their voices roared. That was his reveling. And Taps was when they both passed out. That's when he got to sleep. He dreamed of things he couldn't have, like toy trains and planes, swimming at the swimming hole and baseball parks and games. But dreams for him were meant to see, not for him to touch. 'Cause dreams like these were just for kids. And he was 10 and all grown up. A one-man army, that's what he was, drafted into life. Working hard and taking care of a worthless man and wife. He was afraid, yet he was brave. But not once did he retreat. This hero child of modern times would not accept defeat. He was chaplain, guard, teacher, cook, prisoner of war. A perfect model of more than an average all-American boy. Caught between his daddy, his mommy, and their sins. And he lived through a senseless war. The kind where no one wins. Then, one day, he won 2 tickets to a baseball game. So he took his little brother, Jim, and they were gone most of the day. But when the game was over, and they walked back across the town, to find their house had caught on fire and burned down to the ground. The fireman took his little hand and very sadly said, "Your mom and dad were asleep inside, son, and both of them are dead." The fireman waited for the tears to spill, but not one tear left his eyes, because this little family soldier just couldn't cry. $100 bill. The lady slipped right out the door.
hero. You don't owe me a thing. I've been there too. Someone wants help me out just the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain waitress climbed in the bed. She was thinking about the money and what the lady's note had said. As her husband lay there sleeping, she whispered softly, everything's gonna be alright. I love you, Joe.
Now that our champ has heard these songs and poem in our ultimate song and poem, Brother Tim, could you give us the ultimate message between those songs and poem?
Kenny, I can certainly give you the theme between those songs, poem, and that theme, love, like you've never been hurt. And I would just read John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus declares, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." You know, there, John chapter 8, verse 32. Jesus says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then you jump down, verse 36, "The Son, therefore, shall make you free. You shall be free indeed." And I would just encourage you, dear listener, are you sick of having the abusive father spiritually, who is none other than the devil, Satan, as your father spiritually? Whosoever committeth sin is of the devil, God says. Sin is transgression of God's law. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, thus saith the Lord. Two greatest commands, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Admit you failed to keep both of them, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. So surely as you're sick of having the abusive father who is that devil, Satan, as your father spiritually, there is a father in heaven. And Jesus says, he is the way to that Father in heaven. He is the truth. He is the life as God manifested in the flesh. The Son of God who said, "And ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And therefore shall make you free. You shall be free indeed." So call upon him even today. Behold, now at the time of the day is the day of salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God bless you and yours.
Well. And you are 100% correct. So now we will have you getting ready to get into your message, which you will expound on this very common theme. Amen. And now it is time for Timothy Gruber and his Word of the King.
Hello there, dear listener. This is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you again here with Brother Kenny Ruth here in their program here with Holiness Bibles for the Blind, and with, you could say, another word for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 says, "Where the word of a king is, there is power. You may say unto him, what doest thou?" When one considers matter of love, and one considers how it is written, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. That very thing in verse 7 of 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. When one considers the chains of love, one considers how Christ himself was bound by the very chains of my sins, your sins, dear listener. Even as the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want to thank you for your prayers, not only on my behalf, and for me, but for all the body of Christ here in Israel, and for God's will to be done in each of our lives, and for the souls here in Israel who have yet to believe on the one true God, who is love, And the Word of God makes it very clear. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 17 through 21, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Now, I would get into some testimony here. A book that I myself actually had the privilege of coming across, the blessing of being able to read by the grace of God. And once again, in case you did not know, dear listener, I had major brain surgery in 2008 down at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, Maryland. There was a benign brain tumor. The tumor was in my left frontal lobe at the time. It's a quarter of the size of a golf ball. The left frontal lobe, dear listener, in case you were not aware, happens to be the most critical part of your brain. It was the most critical part, is the most critical part of my brain. And my mom and dad actually saw a picture of this tumor. It was a quarter of the size of a golf ball. And here, Johns Hopkins removed it. There was an infection that had built up between the first and second time Johns Hopkins went in to remove that. And fact is, if they're not going in to take care of that infection, the manner and the timing that they did, by God's grace, thank God, they said I was within 48 hours I'll be able to speak a word, let alone understand a thing you understand, say to me. And I wouldn't, again, be able to understand a word you or anyone else says to me, let alone, again, speaks a word to you. And if I was not already thankful and determined to use my voice by God's grace for his glory prior to that, by his grace, I was all the more determined to use my voice for his glory after that. And that's one more reason why. As I came across this book, the title of the book, Love Like You've Never Been Hurt, Brother Kenny here, and Sister Ruth, if she's able at the time here, may be able to give you some testimony as well, confirming some things that I'll say here about that book shortly. This book by Jennison Franklin, Love Like You've Never Been Hurt, last time we looked, it's still available on Amazon for a reasonable price, below $20, I believe. And that included audio version as well. If you needed audio version for some reason, not able to read, albeit that you could listen. And here, I'll share with you the testimony about how I came across this. And I had gotten and have gotten and am walking in much deliverance, dear listener. I thank you again for your prayers, and I appreciate your prayers. But since I got back into the land in May of last year, I've gotten so much victory and have been walking so much closer with the Lord and all the more conformed to the very image of that Son of the Most High God, Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, which I've been predestined according to God's foreknowledge, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Of course, the previous verse, Romans 8, 28, tells us, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and call according to his purpose. But anyway, I was on my way to Jerusalem one day, and I was taking the bus. And be praying, if you would, please, for my financial situation, my work situation here. It's one thing where God knows I'm willing to work, but you got to be able to do it legally, which means work visa. You got to have the means to do it legally. So if you would just be in prayer for that. In the meantime, whatever financial support you are able to give in any way, Kenny, of course, if you did not already do so, we'll let you know how you can contribute there to what God is doing here. But as I was on my way to Jerusalem, one day I came upon, as I was walking, the central bus station in Tel Aviv. And in this particular area, coming towards the bus station, you have a lot of what are called prostitutes, what God calls whores, and a lot of drug addicts as well. And it's very common, because of that, it's very common a lot of times to just find shekels laying around, money, albeit in Israeli currency, laying around. And some reason. It's like the Spirit of God, in a sense, was just tugging at my heart, telling me to keep my eyes open for any of them shekels. And as I was walking along, and God knew that this particular day, it's been a while, just as God tugged on my heart, I was watching. And anyways, I'm coming up towards this one street called Levitsky Street and getting ready to cross over into the bus station. I look down, and here's this 20 shekel bill laying on the ground. 20 shekels, you're talking anywhere in the vicinity of just over around 6, going on 7 shekels, or excuse me, dollars, excuse me, in U.S. currency, you're talking anywhere from just around 5, going on $7, but a 20-shekel bill, basically, is what I found, and as I saw it, just picked it up, and I said, okay, thank you, Lord, and I went to Jerusalem. And I go into this Messianic bookstore called The Torch, and I say hello to this lady, Miriam, this believer, ask her how her and her husband, this believer, David, have been doing. And I ask her if she has any books for sale. And here, she points and says, yeah, these over here, so many words. I look, these two words just stick out, love and hate. Pull it out, and I see this, love like you, never been hurt, love like you, have never been hurt, love like you've never been hurt, is the title of the book, and ultimately, basically, two words came to my mind, even as I saw those two words, love and hurt, and it was also, love and hate came to my mind there in that context, you could say, just as I spoke a moment ago, because so much of the hurt that ultimately people go through, it ultimately, if they do not learn to love like they have never been hurt, it ultimately manifests itself in a fleshy hatred, bitterness, and resentment of the heart that people, again, have a very hard time, and certainly in the flesh cannot get over. But they need the grace of God, they need the Spirit of God. Love like you've never been hurt is the title of the book, again, by Jennifer Franklin. As I'm looking over this, and I'm reading this, like, Lord, is this the reason why you had me find that 20-shekel bill on the ground? And I said, him even telling me that it was. I even asked then this dear sister Miriam, who was at the bookstore that day, I asked her, I said, how much is this on sale for? Care to take a guess, dear listener, how much it was on sale for? If you're taking exactly 20 shekels, you're correct. It was on sale for exactly 20 shekels. Here I found this 20-shekel bill on my way to Jerusalem that day. It's just all the more indication to me that God wanted me to purchase this book by this Jennifer Franklin. And again, I want to clarify, too. J is in James. E is in Edward. N is in Nathan. T is in Thomas. E is an Edward, Z is in zebra, E is an Edward, N is in Nathan, is how you spell his last name, Jenkinson. That's how you, okay, that's how you spell. And Franklin, F-R-A-N-K-L-I-N. Jenkinson Franklin. But as I was then reading this book and here, I came to find out that I was basically, as the Spirit of God had already been working in my heart, God had me applying the very principles that this Jenkinson Franklin talks about in this book of his, Love Like You've Never Been Hurt. And here, Jenkinson talks and basically preaches, you could say, in this book about what you could call biblical self-esteem. Now, when I say biblical self-esteem, I'm not talking about this nonsense, this hireling, this wolf in sheep's clothing you would know as Joel Osteen talks about. That is a sinful, fleshy self-esteem. That's self-esteem. It has to do with esteeming one self as they are in their human nature, their flesh, as God calls it, which is, as the human heart by nature, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and is all about itself and is all about the fleshy, unholy hatred towards, first and foremost, the living God as one's creator, and then also toward one's fellow man, or how be it, neighbor. And again, it brings us right back to the two greatest commands as Jesus himself spake. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. First and greatest. Second, like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But when I talk about this Jenkinson Franklin preaching and proclaiming in this book, Love Like You've Never Been Hurt, a biblical self-esteem for you, I'm sure may be wondering, what is a biblical self-esteem? A biblical self-esteem, dear listener, is an esteem whereby I and how be you as a believer in Jesus Christ, as surely as you are one, you esteem yourself, I esteem myself as I am in Christ Jesus. You esteem yourself as you are in Christ Jesus. And when we esteem ourselves for who we are in Christ Jesus, and again, just read your Bible, get the pure words of the living God in your hand, and look at the very words of God and what they say in the context of chapters like Ephesians 1 and other portions of Scripture, like Colossians, where it speaks of in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, in whom, referring to Mashiach, Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just look up all those verses wherever they are there in the context of the New Covenant, New Testament, Rechapshah, we would say in Hebrew, and just apply those to yourself. And when you esteem yourself in that context, it's not even really you that you're esteeming as you esteem yourself in Christ. It's not really I myself that I'm esteeming as I esteem myself for who I am in Christ. It's really Christ that I'm esteeming as my head. And ultimately, even as the scriptures speak of God as Christ's head, esteeming God as I esteem Christ, and because I'm only in Christ who I am because God made me that way and made me who I am in Christ. So I'm actually esteeming Christ even as I esteem myself. I'm not just esteeming myself in and of myself. No, I'm esteeming myself in Christ in light of who God has made me in Christ. And if you esteem yourself in such a manner, even as God is love, and you esteem yourself for who you are in love, even as God is love, you then, dear listener, can all the more love your neighbor as yourself, all the more, obviously, as you love your neighbor, you're supposed to also loving all the more the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And here's where, again, the one who has not been born of God, who has not been born of the Spirit of God, loves not. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 8 of 1 John 4, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In order to truly love is God would have you and I love one. Dear listener, one needs to know God who is love, and one needs to esteem himself. One needs to esteem herself for what God has made him or her in him who is love. And not just in relation to other believers, but even when it comes to lost sinners that you and I communicate with, deal with on a regular basis, it also enables us to all the more love them more, because funny thing, we look at them not for who they are in the flesh, but we look at them for who they could potentially be in God, in Christ, who is love. And that all the more helps us to love them and ultimately helps us to forgive others, even as we ourselves have been forgiven. Now, I myself, dear listener, there for the longest time had suffered from fear of rejection and so on, especially from the opposite gender around my age. And basically, what the Spirit of God had me doing was I would just go, and I would just, not exclusively females, but I would also go up to males as well and just, again, just say in Hebrew, shalom, which basically is a way of saying hello, peace. I would, depending on if I was talking to a male or a female, I would say, mashalom ka to the man, or mashalom next to the female, the woman. And it's basically asking the individual how they are doing. And then I would make it a point to just say, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus is Messiah. Or say, Dam Shel Yeshua Kippur Sheli, which is the blood of Jesus. Messiah is my atonement. I go Kippur. I would say Shokot or Shelok, again, depending on whether I was talking to male or female, and I would just be asking them, where is their atonement? Law Dam, law Kippur. Nope. No blood. No atonement, as one would say. And ultimately, I wouldn't expect a response one way or another. And if anything, I would expect a negative response, if anything. And if it seemed like I didn't get any response at all, it's like this, dear listener, I knew, and you can rest assured that whenever you exalt Jesus Christ in this lost and dying world, you are going to get a response. Maybe you may not see it, but surely as they hear and understand anything that you're saying, they're going to be thinking something. And as long as God knows what they're thinking, and he obviously does. That's all that matters. I don't need to know what they're thinking, and you don't need to know what they're thinking. And if they don't respond so friendly, then you know what? If you have to, you just force yourself to move on to the next person and show the love of Christ, show the very love of God to the next person. And again, regardless of how they respond or don't respond, but yeah, dear listener, it was a blessing to be reading this guy's book, Genesis Franklin, Love Like You've Never Been Hurt, see how God had me already applying the very principles this guy speaks of in his book. And again, God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his love, you should be saved from wrath through him. What wrath, you ask? Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars of their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Psalm 9, 17 says it like this, the wicked should be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. And on that note, Brother Kenny, if you would like to give a little rundown of your experience with this book and what God has put upon your heart, you and Ruth, and what you're trying to do with this book by Genesis Franklin, Love Like You've Never Been Hurt. And then seeing that we have here, what time we have left, I'm going to give another little word, and we're going to conclude here with at least one song.
Well, in all honesty, Tim, that book was a real eye-opener. And for me, the interesting part was, as being a person who's been abused myself in a family where, I mean, there was no such thing as getting gifts around that time, where most people that are Christians say, well, they're celebrating Christ's birth, but, okay, well, or devil claws. But the fact is, around that time when most people, kids, would be getting gifts, there was no such thing for me. The only kind of life I knew was being locked in a bedroom with a padlock on the outside. You couldn't get out. It was like you were in jail. Why? Because they wanted to keep us from getting out of the room so that they could keep all the food they could keep, save as much money as they could so they could have their cigarettes and their booze and all that junk. And when they did want to try to get mean, they would beat you with a board or a belt so bad that, well, needless to say, it was pretty bad. Well, I lived through that from my birth all the way up through 18, being shunted back and forth between grandparents and parents, all money hungry. And when I read that book, the thing is now some of my other siblings, they never, I don't think, ever forgave or knew what it was to forgive because none of them are saved. But here I had practiced right after I turned 18, left that environment. Yeah, I already had forgiven them for what they did. No, I won't say I forgot. It's still in my head. I knew what I went through. But I did forgive. And I, as this writer says, took and wrote on the bill of their sin debt to me, paid in full. And God has freed me from a lot of anger, etc., that I could have, knowing that I could be very bitter against that, but I am not. And so what this writer is writing is true. And then as Tim was mentioning, I'm in the process of working with a company here in the United States to get this book available for those who are blind in audio, because it's not available on Amazon in audio, just only on through this company, and we're trying to get that taken care of. All right, Tim.
Yeah, I apologize, dear listener, on that note. I thought Kenny had even told me first that it was available on Amazon via audio, but I guess he was just checking at the time and then found out that it wasn't. But anyways, you heard, and for those of you that can read, it is still available on Amazon, again, for a relatively cheap price. Again, that's only for you, those of you that can read. And like Kenny said, they're trying to work on something for those of you that are blind and not able in that regard. But, yeah, when we think about the chain of love, you know, and this one, pastor, and if you would please pray, there's this widow lady over here by the name of Monica, who I've been friends with for some time now, and we've known each other as friends for a handful of years. Now, her husband passed away, I learned, since being back here in Atlanta, February 21, due to COVID. Now, thankfully, he had a testimony of salvation, so he went to be with the Lord. But Monica is herself a young widow, and she's with 9 children. Four that have come of age. I mean, they're adults. In fact, one of them just went into the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces. But if you'd be in prayer for Monica and her children, because ultimately right now Monica herself is a young widow, she needs another man in her life. She knows that. And she had seen such a difference in me from when she had known me from before because of what God had been doing in my life. Much, again, because I was applying the principles the Spirit of God already had me, applying the very principles that this Genesis Franklin talks about in this book, Love Like You've Never Been Hurt. She saw such a difference in me that she herself said that had she not already taken an interest in potentially having a relationship with this one guy in India who she herself admitted, again, to me here just yesterday, that they never did get engaged yet, but by her own confession, she's very concerned about hurting his feelings. But she noticed such a difference in me that if it had not been for that, she said she would have been wanting to pray about a serious long-term relationship with me until either one of us gives up the ghost and Jesus comes. And basically, she came about as close to proposing, you could say, without actually proposing. But I made it clear to her. I got no problem just being friends. And ultimately, God says in his word, faithful is he that called you will also do it. I told her, if God wants to bring you and I together, he'll make it happen. We don't have to make it happen. He'll make it happen. And but anyhow, it would just be a prayer, because ultimately, whatever God's will is, I will say that God's word is pretty clear. A young widow like her, especially when she has children she needs to care for like that, she does need another man in her life to help provide for her and her children. And God knows, if it would be his will, I'd be more than willing to do that, to serve him and to be a blessing and love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But anyhow, dear listener, now I'm more willing to be meeting. Another reason why I brought that up here before we conclude here, I'm going to be meeting, hopefully, now, by the time you hear this, there's a good likelihood this meeting will have already occurred. I'm hopefully going to be meeting with this one pastor of Monica's, Gil, to discuss things with him and his wife, Tamar, soon. Because I even told Monica again, there are a couple things that I have not shared with her. In fact,
Penny and Ruth have their own testimony about how God brought them together. Parallels there with what God did with this brother Kenny and his wife Ruth and what God's doing with me and this, I believe, sister Monica. But again, you just pray for God's will and all that, and in due time you'll find out what has come of that and what will come of that by God's grace. And as we wind down, dear listener, again, the Word of God makes it clear, repent ye. Turn from your wicked ways. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Repent ye and believe the gospel out of Christ as Emmanuel, God with us, the Holy One of Israel, manifest in the flesh as Messiah, died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead the third day, according to the scriptures. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Jesus Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Salvation has never been through any church, and it's certainly not through the one who calls herself Mother Church, whom God calls Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. Read all about her in Revelation 17, 18, in her end before the living God at their destruction. Again, Revelation 17, 18. Salvation has always been through man, Christ Jesus, is the one mediator, between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There is no purgatory. Reincarnation is a lie of the devil. The point of the men wants to die, but after this is the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Thank you for your prayers also as I continue to try to master and get down the Hebrew language as well. And I would just encourage you, dear listener, do not do like so many, because even this Pastor Gill I'm going to meet with, he testified not long ago in a message at this one place of worship that we go to on Friday evenings, Shabbat evenings here, Sabbath evenings. He testified about how he himself had to get delivered from that spirit that always wants to put up its defenses and always wants to look out for its own feelings and its own emotions. And you could say, dear listener, that that's what I was battling with for a long time. And God knows I was in my spirit as a new creature in Christ. It's like I was all the more crying out for deliverance and wanting to crucify the flesh with the affections of love. And God in his own way taught me another thing too, dear listener. You and I, we must distinguish between the feelings of the flesh, how we get our sinful human nature, and feelings of the spirit. And living by faith, if you're going to live by faith as God calls living by faith, dear listener, as he defines living by faith, you must learn to be content with such things as you have. For godliness with contentment is great gain. And such contentment and living by faith, the spirit of faith, go hand in hand with that spirit of godliness to which we have been called, dear listener, as believers in Jesus Christ, who have saved us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purposes, in Christ Jesus before the world began. So if you've got those defenses still up, dear listener, talking especially right now, particularly those of you who profess to know the living God who is love, profess to know Jesus Christ, have his spirit in you, those of you who profess to be saved by his grace, you still have those defenses up, put those defenses down, crucify your flesh, your affections and lust, your feelings, exposed for God's glory, and understand he will give you the strength to go through whatever offenses come your way, because Jesus himself said they were going to come. But again, he will give you the strength, and he will give you the faith to endure and go through those offenses, so that others can all the more taste of the love of the living God, his spirit, and the love of Christ in and through each one of us, even as we have Christ in us, who is the hope of glory. And then, as a result, those chains of love can just keep on going, for the enhancing of God's glory and for the building of his church by way of his amazing grace and the power of that blood that is in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse from all sin and make whiter than snow. We walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Again, purgatory does not exist. There's no need for the place. All the purgatory took place in Calvary. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, for it is written, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into fire. And even as Kenny now plays Chains of Love, if you yet to call upon the one true God who is love, dear listener, in and by faith, Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, Emmanuel, God with us. Even as the Spirit convicts you of sin, judgment, and righteousness, and even as God the Father draws you in conjunction with God the Son, who was exalted on our behalf, is sinners worthy of the devil's hell, yet in his mercy, willing to save, willing to love. Call upon him as you hear this. Till next time, God bless you and yours. This is Brother Timothy Gruber saying thanks again for all of your prayers and support.
Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Holy Bible that tells her the day when the beast shall walk among her, and then he shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame is darkened down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
Lesson is War in Heaven. Astronauts James A. Divitt and Edward H. White in their now internationally famous Gemini 4 spacecraft splashed down in the Atlantic Ocean on Monday, June 7, 1965, after completing 97 hours and 56 minutes of a flight in outer space, acclaimed by space experts to be one of the most outstanding and fact-gathering scientific feats of this 20th century. During four full days, those two grave men lived in a state of weightlessness, performing the normal and vital functions of human beings and successfully returned to Earth to tell of this outer space venture. Both astronauts, together with their Gemini 4 spacecraft, have undergone a series of extensive examinations and evaluations since their splashdown in the Atlantic Ocean. A high-ranking space official commenting on the prolonged and remarkable flight of DeWitt and White said, "You ain't seen nothing yet." The space official was spectacularly contemplating future U.S. space flights, which will be launched on an accelerated schedule, and it's planned that Gemini spacecrafts of the future will hook up with orbiting satellites. The pilots will perform intricate maneuvers during trips up to 2 weeks in duration, and men will walk and work outside their orbiting crafts for long periods. All of this has come to pass as speculated. Both Russia and the United States of America have done exceedingly well. Man has even walked on the moon. There's no end to what man may accomplish in outer space. As of June 1965, a bill authorizing an appropriation of $5,190,396,200 was for the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, was signed by the President of the United States for the fiscal year beginning July 1st. This vast figure merely puts a ceiling on the amount of money this government agency is to spend. The Apollo program will include year-long trips to Mars, Venus, and other points in the solar system made possible by space stations that will orbit the Earth for years at a time. So the scientists are telling us. You can distinctly use see the outer space explorations of both the United States and the Soviet Union are producing valuable and practical information, which is opening up heretofore closed doors of scientific mystery and allowing present-day scientists to figure out ways and means of building a complex system of outer space travel and to bring it into the realm of reality to the point of almost astounding the human mind. The average man in the street is thoroughly amazed at the success of the space achievements. His mind is continually being filled with debatable questions as to how far the space program will finally go and what the eventual outcome will be. There are several portions of scripture recorded in God's word which definitely indicates that there will be absolutely no limit to the space programs of both the United States and the Soviet Union, as well as other governments who will later get in on the act. In fact, there are every intelligent reason to believe that space travel will become as ordinary as taking a jet airplane from Los Angeles to New York. Anyone who has the wonderful experience of riding a jet airplane at 650 miles per hour across the United States lands more or less completely satisfied and relaxed with the expression, "It's as simple as falling off a log and I'm sorry it's over." Future space travel of mankind and intricate maneuverings of spacecrafts in outer space will eventually enable a spaceship to depart from a launching pad here in the United States, travel into outer space, and rendezvous with a space station which has been circling the Earth for possibly 3 or 6 months or even longer, allowing a fresh crew to be transferred to the outer space station and returning the crew which had been on duty for extended time to the Earth. Considering the mere teaspoon of knowledge which man now possesses and what has already been done in the realm of space achievements, we can imagine the tremendous achievements of the space scientists in the years ahead. Years from now, we will look back on these days, and they will seem like grammar school days in a graduating college senior. That is, if the second coming of Christ is delayed that long, there are absolutely no limitations for mankind in outer space. The field is wide open. From the standpoint of Holy Scripture, there are many justifying reasons why present-day explorations are being accelerated, even at extreme cost to the taxpayer. There are valid reasons supported by the Bible as to why mankind has been able to fathom the heretofore believed unsearchable secrets of outer space to the point that he can launch a giant rocket with two men sitting in a little room slightly larger than a telephone booth on top of that rocket, hurl them by a tremendous thrust up into heaven, place that spacecraft in orbit around the Earth and allowing it to travel 1,600,000 miles and bring that craft safely down to the Earth with only a slight error of approximately 40 miles from the center of the bullseye. It's almost human perfection. Those of us who are watching the ultimate culmination of fascinating end-time Bible prophecies are eagerly scrutinizing many meager details of this space age in the light of what God's Word says will come to pass eventually in the final hours of man's day upon this present planet, the Earth. Many years ago, those of us who eagerly read and followed Buck Rogers in the comic papers could not begin to realize that such imaginative writings, drawings, vocabulary, and space explorations could ever possibly come true. The originator of that comic strip was far ahead of his day in his inventive thinking, but we are now seeing the first fruits of the Buck Rogers imagination coming to pass as we see the current quest of man to go to the moon and on to other planets. The Bible tells us that the human mind is capable of doing the same things which the comic strip Buck Rogers envisioned. The Bible says a human being has only to imagine a thing being working on it. Someday, if it is persistent, that thought will become a reality. With this in mind, please read the following verse from God's Word very carefully. And now, nothing will be restrained from them, mankind, which they have imagined to do. Genesis 11 and verse 6. There is a headlong, feverish, scientific race between the United States and the Soviet Union to perfect and inaugurate interplanetary travel, to bring about eventual inhabitation of the heavens, to probe into the vast regions beyond the Earth's surface, and to finally colonize the moon and establish permanent space stations which will continually orbit the Earth, serving much like a bus station as it facilitates and expedites travelers on a transcontinental journey across the United States. This is a big order, but we are seeing the first fruits of its eventual success. There's one portion of Scripture in the Bible which is my main reason for discussing the subject, found in the book of Revelation, and the writer tells us a future war will take place up in heaven. We have every intelligent reason to believe and suspect that the present space exploration and achievements are a part of the future program for the fighting that war in heaven. As a preacher of Bible prophecy, I foresee the success of the current space program scientifically geared to a future war to be fought in outer space. At the same time, a war is going on up in heaven. Now here's a scripture. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And a great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser Satan of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Revelation 12, 7 through 10. This portion of Scripture tells us four specific things. Number one, there's to be a war in heaven. Two, that war is to be between Michael, enforced by the angels of God, and Satan. Three, Satan, who is presently the accuser of the children of God, is to be cast out of heaven for the last time. And four, all of this takes place up in the third heaven. This portion of Scripture will be fulfilled approximately 3.5 years before the Battle of Armageddon is fought. Revelation 12, 7 through 17. Please read this portion of Scripture carefully. To explain this in part, let me point out the fact that three great days are outlined in the Bible. Number one, man's day. Two, the day of Christ. And three, the day of Jehovah. Man's day extends from Adam to Armageddon. The day of Christ extends from Armageddon to the great white throne judgment. The day of Jehovah extends from the great white throne judgment and on into eternity, which is never ending. Man's day concludes at Armageddon, at which time representative forces of the armies of this world will be congregating outside the city of Jerusalem, anticipating the physical revealing or the little second coming of Jesus Christ in human form to this earth to establish this 1,000-year reign. Scripture, and I saw the beast, Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him, Jesus Christ, that sat on the horse and against his army. Revelation 19, 19. Scripture, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and his feet, Christ, shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, and which is before Jerusalem on the east. Zechariah 14, 2-4. The Battle of Armageddon, Satan, who will have been thrown out of heaven from the last time during the war in heaven, will cause his Antichrist to gather the armies of this world to Armageddon to oppose Jesus Christ when he returns to this earth with the armies of the angels and the armies of the redeemed, who will come back with him to this earth to begin his millennial reign. Scripture, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he, Christ, that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in his righteousness he doth judge and make war. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Revelation 19:11-14. This vast army of spiritual beings, which cannot be numbered, will return to the earth as spiritual beings, but they will appear to the physical people on the earth as human beings riding white horses. Let me point out to you one short verse of scripture to back up one phase of what I'm saying. Here it is. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like as the angels, spiritual beings of God in heaven, Matthew 22:30. This verse of scripture tells us that once an individual in Christ leaves the earth, he becomes as an angel, meaning to say he has passed, if he has angelic attributes, and will be able to appear and disappear at will. The beings who will come back with Christ at the Battle of Armageddon will be as angels, meaning to say they will have the ability to appear and disappear with angelic powers. Material substances will have no power over them. They'll have the ability to be embodied, and the people on the earth will see and observe Jesus Christ coming down to the earth at Armageddon, followed by a tremendous host of white-clothed riders on white horses approaching the earth. Revelation 19:14, of course, in your KJV Bible. It will be at that time that the final fulfillment of the space programs of both the U.S. and the Soviet Union will have reached their ultimate state of perfection. At that particular time, every known spaceship, orbiting space station, nuclear and electronic weapons of every description will be turned on. The advancing army of white-clothed beings riding down from heaven on white horses to the earth to oppose Satan's Antichrist and his one-world army at Armageddon. Allow me to share with you a much-cherished account of such a military encounter, which happened several years ago in China. This dramatic incident is reported by a Mr. Coswell, a missionary to China, and he gives a thrilling account of a most remarkable encounter very similar to what will happen in Armageddon and when the forces of Antichrist oppose the oncoming heavenly army. Dr. Charles Kimbers, a veteran missionary who is familiar with the language and philosophy of both Japan and China, received two letters in the same mail, one from a Japanese individual and the other from a Chinese person. The Japanese individual told of a young Japanese flyer who received orders to lead 10 planes in an air attack on a defenseless Chinese city. With this commission in view, he flew toward the sky, leading the other 9 machines. As he approached the city, he saw before him a multitude of angels with drawn swords blocking his way. Believing them to be only cloud formations, he flew ahead, but he was stopped by these beings. He was a devoted Buddhist, but the incident made such a deep impression on him that he turned about and his squadron followed him. He was executed for not carrying out orders. The letter from the Chinese person, an account was given of the fright which the inhabitants of the defenseless city had experienced upon hearing that 10 planes were coming to bombard their city. A devoted Chinese pastor had fallen upon his knees and prayed that God would somehow hinder those planes from coming. For several hours, he struggled with God in prayer until he saw the squadron approach, and suddenly he saw the leader swerve back and forth, after which he turned back the same way he had come, followed by the other 9 machines. From a faded newspaper report, I have read this true account from a missionary in China describing how 10 Japanese planes were ordered by military leaders to bombard a Chinese village, but rather, suddenly, those planes turned around and went in the opposite direction, not taking time to drop even one bomb because the leader was opposed by angels sent of God in answer to the prayers of a godly pastor. The very same thing, dear listener, will happen at Armageddon because down here on the earth, the Antichrist One World Army, 200 million strong, Revelation 9:16, will be gathered in the Jerusalem area. from the four corners of the earth, and they will be there for the specific purpose of endeavoring to annihilate Jesus Christ as he rides down from heaven on a white horse, followed by a great, innumerable company of heavenly soldiers on white horses. At that time, every usable military weapon in the arsenal of the Antichrist One World Army will be hurled at Jesus Christ and his armies coming down from heaven in an effort to stop them. All three heavens will be in the state of chaotic confusion because of future war to be fought up in heaven, at which time Satan will be cast to the earth for the last time. Revelation 12:9 will have just come to a conclusion. There will be a little state of military turmoil going on up in the heaven as well as on the earth. The entire world space program is heading toward that ultimate climax of events, eventually to be used as Satan in an endeavor to stop Jesus Christ from coming back to the earth to establish a one-world government or a theocracy, when there will be absolute universal peace upon this earth, and mankind will not study nor learn war anymore. Praise the Lord. Now, here we go to Scripture. And he, Jesus Christ, shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn or engage in war anymore. Isaiah 2 and verse 4 in your KJV Bible. We know that Jesus Christ will be victorious as he comes down from heaven, followed by the armies of heaven, each member of these armies riding upon a white horse and clothed in fine linen, because the Bible says the Antichrist army will be destroyed. Scripture, and out of his Christ's mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations and shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. I saw an angel standing in the sun. They cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. And the beast, Antichrist, was taken, and hit with him the false prophet that wrought miracles, 2 Thessalonians 2:9, Revelation 13:14, before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both, Antichrist and false prophet, were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Revelation 19:15, verse 17 and 20. This last verse gives the reason for the great supper of God as described in Revelation 19:17. Here's the scripture, and the remnant, those left at the end of the battle, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Revelation 19:21. A great calamitous war in heaven is coming, as well as a bloody conflict upon the earth. Revelation 14:20. May God help each one of us to be housed in the ark of Jesus Christ of God's mercy. Only the blood of Jesus Christ will shield and protect us in this life and the life to come. Scripture, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27 and verse 1. And the next lesson will be a great multitude in heaven.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Hello, my name is Ian of Ashville, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim, and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 1-440-754-2061. And the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember, I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Skies Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click
subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week, and you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And finally, Ruth, as we get ready to pull into the station, who do we got on the old gospel bus tonight?
Well, as usual, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost band of angels. We have you, Sister Emily, and just little old me.
All right. Well, welcome, Emily. And what kind of prayer request or questions or comments do you have tonight?
If my phone would play nice so it doesn't grow wings and fly, it'll be okay.
All right. Well, go ahead.
Questions, all I got to say is, after we're off air, pastoral call, please.
No problem. Okay. Well, how about any prayer requests? Anything new?
Just had a praise report. I got a call. Mama's back at the nursing home tonight and resting comfortably.
Well, thank you, Lord.
Let's shout the glory down. Amen.
Okay, so are you good then?
I am complete.
All right. Well, with that, Emily, since I know Ruth is okay, we're going to ask you to give us a closing prayer, and then we're going to say God bless, good night, and remind everybody to join tomorrow for Dr. Doug Quick and the Truth of the Matter at 9 p.m. Eastern on Station 1. All right, Emily.
Brother Quick's going to preach tomorrow night?
We're hoping he is. All we can do is pray about it. He hasn't said one way or another, but still the program will go on.
Exactly. Lord, I thank you for this broadcast tonight, that everything we said and was done here was pleasing in your sight. I ask for that soul mirror's tell that they would surrender over to you, God. Raising the white flag, surrendering, saying, I yield, I yield. And Lord, tonight I just want to thank you for bringing Mom out of the hospital and bringing her back to where she's at the point where I could go see her again. I also ask you that you would open a door some way, somehow, to get me better housing work other than where I'm at. I ask this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. All right. God bless everybody, and we'll catch you tomorrow. God bless everyone.
God bless.
Love you all. Love you too, sweetheart. Amen.